they're important because with respect to California, the issue is the right of gay people to marry in the first instance, to, you know, to stand up in front of family and friends and legally commit to one another in marriage for life. And that's something that so many people want to do for the same sorts of reasons that other people want to marry. So that's extremely important. And then number two, with respect to the Federal Defense of Marriage Act, that's a law that treats people who, in fact, are married under state law as though they're single for federal purposes, which, you know, complicates their lives a lot and disadvantages them when it comes to things like counting on family medical leave to take care of a spouse or Social Security. You know, when you are older and after paying into the system and having those spousal or survivor benefits, you know, veterans benefits, military protections, and so on, everyone is treated as single despite the fact that they're married.
What do you expect this court to ask? What questions do you expect to come down, both challenging this law and from those who on the court who may be more sympathetic?
Well, first of all, I do expect the court to question everyone about whether the proper parties are in front of the court. The court itself asked the parties to address questions about jurisdiction. And with respect to Prop 8, the focus, the Prop 8, the marriage case in California, the focus is really whether the people who put Prop 8 on the ballot really can stand in the shoes of the state for purposes of an appeal. And this isn't some new trick that the court is developing. They actually do closely guard who it is that comes into court and appears before them. So I do expect some questions around that. And then secondly, with respect to the DOMA case, the Windsor case, the question is, when the United States has changed sides, is there really enough of a conflict here for the Supreme Court to weigh in and decide the issue? And, you know, I think with respect to that one, it's pretty clearly, yes, there's enough of a conflict because the United States continues to enforce the Federal Defense of Marriage Act with respect to over 1,100 federal protections that touch on married people.
The court theoretically is not supposed to take public opinion, I believe, into account when it's hearing these cases, but recent polls have shown growing support, especially among younger Americans, for gay marriage. How will this all play out? How does this change in public perception affect some of these cases?
You know, it's really hard to say. I mean, I think the threshold issue for the court is the law and the Constitution, you know, which does promise all of us equal protection of the laws, you know, ensures that whatever fundamental rights we enjoy as Americans are supposed to be available to all Americans, you know, unless there's a very good reason to withhold something. So I think those are the threshold issues. And as the court looks around, I think public opinion is definitely part of the equation because as an institution of, you know, unelected judges, which of course is how we designed our constitutional system, we put the court in the place of being able to make the hard decisions and say when a state or the Congress has drawn the wrong line on the side of unfairness. But the court, you know, being in that position, I think, does care that it not get wildly ahead of public opinion. And that's why it's, I think, should be reassuring to them that a broad ruling in favor of marriage would not be too far ahead of public opinion. And in the same vein that discriminating against people who are already married compared to other married people just makes no sense. So I think that that will be helpful, but the threshold issues are really about the law.